From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. If you were spending money over the past several days, here's a question for you. How'd you go about it? Over the counter, click of the mouse, or pressing of the thumb? If you were one of the estimated 122 million people who took part in Cyber Monday yesterday, you might have done it on your phone. A record-breaking $1.2 billion was apparently spent via mobile devices on Black Friday alone. To talk more about all this, I'm joined by Forrester analyst Fiona Swerdlow. Fiona, thanks for coming in. How are mobile shoppers different?
Well, they're not necessarily different, but as consumers, we all use multiple devices to do a lot of our shopping.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that we always buy online, but often we're using online touch points to do a lot of research. I think the really big story there is the fact that they influence so much shopping that ultimately happens in places like stores.
So we actually went out into New York City to ask people when they buy online, and Peter Allen said it's just convenient. Let's take a listen.
It just depends where I am. So if I'm out, I think of something I want to buy, I'll do it on my phone. I don't have to, like, wait. And if I wait, I'll probably forget something. So if I'm out, I can just pull out my phone and buy it right away.
This seems like it's speaking a little bit to the kind of behavior that you're talking about.
Absolutely. So people might decide that they want to buy something on the spot, especially if they found a good deal, which was certainly there were lots of promotions going on over the past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And so you want to grab the deal while it's still there, while the product is still in stock. But it might also be you might have opened an email and said, you know, I'm interested in that. Not necessarily ready to buy, but let me put it in my cart and I'll come back to that later.
A lot of people have smartphones these days. Not everyone has a computer. Is it possible that retailers are reaching a wider audience by being more available on mobile or trying to sell people items on mobile?
It's more that you have to be wherever your customer is at any given time.
Mm.
Because whether you have a desktop at home or at work or not, we are constantly looking at information. When that customer signals to you that they are ready to learn about your product or to buy your product, you want to be there right in front of them.
Fiona Swerdlow is an analyst with Forrester. Fiona, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
And New Yorker Casey Neistat is a guy who has made it big by making video go viral like this one.
So I got a ticket for not riding in the bike lane, but often there are obstructions that keep you from properly riding in the bike lane.
It goes on like that, with Neistat staying in the bike lane and crashing into obstructions. He's also killed a goldfish on screen and brought it back to life with a 9-volt battery. Neistat is good at going viral among the millennials. Sorry, I had to say the hated word. This is perhaps why CNN just bought Neistat's social media video app, Beam. Money was not disclosed, but if it's about reaching millennials, you know Neistat and company made some dough. They also have new jobs at CNN. Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes. San Francisco's light rail system, the Muni, is the latest high-profile victim of ransomware. It's an increasingly popular hacking attack where attackers get into a system and hold a computer or system's data under lockdown until the owners pay up. Muni ticketing machines displayed messages saying, "You hacked," and the culprits asked for 100 Bitcoin, aka about 70,000 bucks, to release the system from the hacker's grip. Transit hacking expert and Anatrope CEO and founder Tiffany Rad is on the line. Tiffany, what is your sense of what happened in San Francisco?
What I think happened is, I think this may have been a random attack, but when the attackers discovered that it was a transit authority that they had obtained access to their computers, I think what they did then is they decided to charge them 100 Bitcoin for this. So I think that this attack was somewhat random.
Do you have a sense at all about how Muni specifically in San Francisco might compare to other U.S. transit systems, or how transit systems are doing with operational security?
The truth of the matter is that even though there is the cybersecurity framework that the National Institutes of Standards has put out, there are still organizations and government in particular that's trying to come on board with making sure that their computers are segmented. What that means is when you have trains or subway systems, there's something called industrial control systems. They have to do with the safety and control of the transit vehicle. And sometimes these are controlled away from where the train is. So essentially, there's a control computer somewhere. What I'm watching to see how this plays out is I hope that some of those safety control features and those computers have not been compromised as part of this attack.
Is the general increase of transit hacking due to computerizing systems or bringing systems online in new ways maybe something we should think about not doing?
I think that it's inevitable that there are going to be systems that are connected. And for the most part, we get the benefit of a lot of Internet of Things connected. It makes our day and our commute to work more convenient. And I think that as we move more toward autonomous vehicles and trains, perhaps in the future, will be fully autonomous. I think that this is a direction in which we're going. And cybersecurity for these, we know, needs to be very important for safety and security.
Tiffany Rad, she is founder and CEO of Anatrope Inc., which develops wireless automotive technologies for the security and data analytics industries. Tiffany, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And 10 is the number of iPhone prototypes Apple is said to be considering for the iPhone 8. This according to the Wall Street Journal. Also, maybe a curved screen, maybe a curved OLED screen, which would be brighter and better. You know what that would mean, right? New iPhone price tags going up. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.